Welcome to Your Badass Brain, the podcast that uses coaching, psychology, and simple neuroscience to arm you with the knowledge and tools to get from where you are now to where you really want to be. And here's your host, professional certified coach, April Oswald, to help you get the most from your badass brain.
Hey there.
Hi.
How are you? Have you missed me? If you've been listening to my episodes, like right when they come out, then you know it's been a while since I've released the last one. And this wasn't my intention, but I've been traveling, and I just got back. My youngest son, Chase, was on a school break, and so we decided to go to New Jersey to visit my daughter, Ava, at her boarding school. We hadn't been allowed on campus this whole year, so when they finally opened up to some visitors, I was just super excited to get up there and see her, even though I was only allowed to see her at a 6-foot distance outside. But I did sneak in a little hug. But it didn't matter. I was just really happy to be with my baby girl. And initially, the trip was supposed to be a quick one, but right before we left, Bermuda announced that the schools were going to go virtual because we had had a big spike in COVID on the island. And so we stayed in the States for really a whole month, which was great because after I saw Ava, I got to spend some good time with my mom and I got to see my dad and some other family members. But I'm back now. And I'm super happy to be recording another podcast episode for you. And for those of you that reached out asking if I was still going to be doing the podcast, thanks for that. It means a lot to know that there's people out there looking forward to the release of my new episodes. And I also want to mention that I will be away for a lot of the summer, definitely for the months of July and August. I'm heading to California and Pennsylvania and South Carolina, and then I'll be taking Ava back to New Jersey for the new school year. So I'm hoping to get some episodes released during that time, but I can't make any promises. I do know that I have a few good topics that I would like to share, so we'll see what happens. Now, for today, I want to talk about emotions as circumstance. And to put it another way, I want to talk to you about what you think about how you feel. And for those of you that have coached with me or have been listening to the podcast for a little while, then you know that these are both lines from the coaching model that I teach, emotions and circumstances. And I hope that you're using this model regularly as a way of getting better acquainted with what is going on in that brain of yours and why you have the results that you have in your life. And for any of you that are new listeners or regular listeners who just need a quick refresh, I'm going to do a quick rundown of the model and touch on a few important ideas related to it because it's a critical part of what I teach and it's the basis of the coaching work that I do. Okay, and then this will flow nicely into the new stuff that I'm going to cover today. So the model says that for every circumstance we encounter, our brain produces a thought about it. Our thoughts create our emotions, our emotions determine our actions, and our actions create our results. So how your life looks right now, the results that you have in your life right now, is a reflection of the thoughts in your brain. If you want to change your life, or if you've been trying to change certain things in your life without a lot of success, the key is to work on your thoughts so that you will generate the emotions that make the actions you need to take come more naturally, right? That will make taking those actions like not such a difficult struggle. Right? When we try to take action without first aligning our thoughts with the results that we want, it often ends up being, you know, an unnecessary struggle. Okay, now, when you're working on a model, right, when you're filling out or putting together a model or thinking through your model, the very first concept is that the circumstance, it has to be a fact. It can't contain opinion or judgment of any kind. Any statement or phrase or sentence that includes like any kind of debatable language, right? It's not a circumstance. That would be a thought. Okay, and this sounds pretty straightforward, right? It's a fact or it's a thought. But often it can actually be really difficult to distinguish between a thought and a fact because a lot of times we simply believe the thoughts that our brains offer us as if they are fact. We just assume that the thoughts our brain are offering us are true. And let me give you a quick example of what this looks like. So a few days, I was leading a virtual presentation and discussion, and I was teaching people about the model. And I asked if anybody would like to present something that they are struggling with to see how the model works in practice. And the woman that was running the group that I was presenting to volunteered, and I'm going to call her Brandy, okay? So I asked Brandy to share her situation, and here's what she told me. And this isn't verbatim, but she basically said, you know, my husband is just really negative, and I'm more of a positive person. And it's so irritating, right? Especially in the mornings. I wake up and I purposely make an effort to start my day on a positive note. And then it's not easy when I have to deal with his negativity. I just want him to be more positive. All right. Now, first of all, I love that this was her topic, right? Because this is something that I have made great strides with in my own marriage, but that is still a work in progress. But in this scenario, Brandy was telling me all of the thoughts that she was having about her husband's negativity, right? As if her husband's negativity was just a fact, as if that were the circumstance. She did not recognize that my husband is really negative, that statement is just an optional thought. And it's important to make this distinction in order for her to recognize the power that she has to feel the way that she wants to in her marriage and towards her husband. Because we can't control other people, but we can choose the thoughts that we have about them. And this is what determines how we feel. The emotions that we feel are always self-determined. They are not determined by other people. They are not determined by things that happen to us. She wants her husband to be less negative so that she can feel better. But the only thing that will ever make her feel better is how she thinks about him, right? Even if he turns into Mr. Happy and she starts to feel elated and enamored with him, it will only be because she has started to think differently. So she can wait for him to change, which may never happen, but she can wait in order to start thinking these new thoughts that will make her feel differently. Or she just can decide that she wants to feel them now, and she can do the work required to change those thoughts. So when you're doing the model, the first thing to do is make sure that your circumstance is truly a fact. And the more specific, the better. Okay, so with Brandy, and we weren't able to take the discussion a whole lot further than what I've shared, but in this situation, the circumstance could have been whatever specific thing her husband said when she saw him in the morning. So we could put those words on the circumstance line. Then on the next line would be the thought she has about those words, like the thought she has about him speaking those words. So circumstance is, my husband said, you know, blank. The thought is, he is really negative. Well, actually, the thought probably sounds more like, oh my God, why is he always so negative? And this thought creates the feeling of irritation. Without this thought, all that existed were the words her husband spoke. And words are neutral. Her brain made them mean something that caused her irritation. And if I were going to work through the rest of this model, you know, to complete this model, we'd look at what she does when she's irritated. What actions does she take or not take? And we didn't get this far on the call, so I can't say for, you know, 100% certainty what those actions would be, but I'm willing to assume that they wouldn't be positive ones, that the actions that naturally stem from a feeling of irritation are not the positive ones that she wishes she could see in her husband. And because the model always works this way, the results that those actions lead to will reflect whatever thoughts she is thinking. In this case, her thinking that her husband is being so negative causes her to not be the positive person that she believes herself to be. Okay, but imagine if she could never again have the thought, he is always so negative. That in the exact same circumstance, whenever her husband spoke those exact same words, she thought something completely different. And there's always a wide range of possible thoughts available. The programming that your brain is running by default, what I call your base brain, will offer you up its thought, but you have the ability to override that and choose to think whatever thoughts serve you best, whatever thoughts are most likely to get you the result that you want. This is what I call using your badass brain, being willing and able to step outside of your base brain and consider what else is possible. What if she thought something like, I love that my husband shares his thoughts and opinions with me. What feeling might that thought generate compared to the thought that he is always so negative? Perhaps it would create a feeling of connectedness or interested or curious. Whatever it is, it's bound to be something like way more pleasant than irritation. And the actions that are driven by connected or interested or curious will be different than those that are driven by irritated. Brandy would probably show up with her husband as more of the positive person that she wants to be, and thus her experience in the marriage would be more positive. Same circumstance, different thought, different feeling, different actions, different result. And nothing has to change except for what you think. Now, this is where I just want to put out a little bit of a warning, because it's easy to misuse this knowledge. Once you start doing it, you're going to find some circumstances in your life where as soon as you have awareness that it is your thoughts and not the circumstances causing your emotions, like as soon as you accurately distinguish between what is thought and what is fact and realize that you have a choice in what you think, this can be such a profound experience and it can work for you. And then you think that you've found the secret of the universe, a magic potion to eliminate negative emotion from your life. And I hate to be the one to tell you this, but there is no magic potion to eliminate negative emotion from your life. And there's also no magic amount of money or magic weight or magic job title or magic person. There is nothing that can eliminate emotion, that can eliminate negative emotion completely from your life. Well, unless you removed your brain, I suppose, but I do not recommend trying that one at home. Our brains are biologically programmed to produce a wide range of emotions. In fact, we are supposed to feel happy and sad, excited and afraid, proud and ashamed. We're supposed to experience joy and grief, gratitude and disappointment. This is what makes for a rich and full human life. They're all just states of being created by our brains. Sure, some of them feel better than others, right? Some feel amazing. And some cause us to suffer. But when we create drama about our negative emotions, we unnecessarily increase our suffering. We make the suffering so much worse than it has to be by the way we choose to think about it. And this is what I referred to when I said that I was going to talk about emotion as circumstance. So if you take the model and you put a negative emotion in there as the circumstance, what are the thoughts that you have about it? Let's take something like anger, for instance. Let's say that something happens and you get really angry and you've been listening to my podcast and getting better at operating from your badass brain. So you're very aware that you're in a place where you're feeling anger. Okay, and this in itself is great because even just by stopping and noticing and labeling your emotion, you've interrupted the model. You've hit the pause button on the model before the action line, which prevents you from taking action from a place of anger and then having to deal with whatever result stems from that. And this is really the only place that you can pause the model, right? Because we can't hit pause between the action and the result line because our actions have natural consequences that just automatically, you know, determine our results. And we can't hit pause anywhere between the circumstance, thought, and emotion lines because of the speed with which that process occurs in the brain. That's why earlier I was saying that some level of emotional suffering will always be necessary because we are never going to undo all of that neural wiring that causes our negative emotion. We more or less have to pick our battles and then work on the thoughts that are most critical in allowing us to achieve the results that we want in our lives. Okay, but now back to the example scenario. So you've realized that you're feeling angry. And man, it sure seems like the circumstance is what is making you angry. But then you hear my voice in the back of your head reminding you that it's always just a thought. And so you try to think new thoughts, but it just isn't working. You're still feeling so angry. So then that becomes your new circumstance. Now, here is where a lot of people end up creating the unnecessary suffering that I was talking about earlier. And they do this by having thoughts about this new circumstance, right? The circumstance of being angry, that add a second layer of negative emotion. So in terms of the model, the circumstance is, I am feeling angry. Now, perhaps you think, I shouldn't have to be angry. I should be able to fix this by thinking differently. And a thought like that might leave you frustrated or discouraged because you weren't able to fix your anger. Or maybe you think, I hate that I get angry so easily. And this might lead to a feeling of self-loathing or maybe shame. Either way, you have now added an additional layer of negative emotion on top of your anger. So not only do you feel worse, right? You've doubled down on the negative emotion. But when you believe that some emotion you are feeling is wrong, when you think it's a problem that you're feeling it, and you end up feeling frustrated, discouraged, or ashamed because of it, you become less willing to explore it. You become less willing to explore that initial emotion and to keep an open mind about it, and to truly just allow yourself to be in it in order to learn what it has to teach you about your brain. Okay, and an example of this actually came up in a coaching call that I was having with somebody earlier today, and it couldn't have been better timing for this week's episode. So I'm going to call this woman Lindsay. And Lindsay told me that since moving to a new city a few years ago, she has lost herself. And that she just really wants to have more fulfillment in her life and to discover who she is and what it is that she'd really like to do. And as we talked more and she opened up a bit more, she also told me that she's not comfortable being vulnerable, that she doesn't like to let other people know when she's struggling with anything. And hey, I know she isn't alone here. A lot of people feel that way. I'm guessing you might feel that way, because the more people I talk to, the more I realize how true it is that people are not comfortable sharing their emotions. And sometimes they don't even want to acknowledge their emotions to themselves. I totally get it, because I spent most of my life feeling that way, hiding my pain, even from myself, right? Because I thought that I had to be happy and strong all of the time. I thought that's why people would like me or accept me. And I was afraid that if I started to allow and share my true feelings, even a little bit, that the floodgates were just going to like burst open and everything I'd been holding on to so tightly would just come pouring out and drown me and everyone else around me. But that didn't happen. And learning to be comfortable with emotion with all of my emotions has been one of the most freeing things in my entire life, by far. And it has allowed me to get more comfortable with other people's emotions, to let other people feel whatever they are feeling without the need to fix it. Because I know now that emotions are not problems to be fixed. And so I can just hold space for whatever it is that I or somebody else is feeling. So I understood what Lindsay was experiencing. And I was able to use the model to show her how her thoughts about her emotions were holding her back from the ultimate result that she wanted, which was to figure out what she wanted to do in her life and to create a more expansive life for herself. Now, first of all, when she told me that she had lost herself, she told me it as if it was a fact. And to her, it really seemed like it was. That was her truth, quote unquote. But that's just another example of how tricky our brains can be. And we often don't even recognize when what we're accepting as truth is just a made-up thought. And sometimes the thought just seems so harmless, right? Like, I lost myself. But I pointed out to her that this really was a thought. And I asked her how it makes her feel when she has the thought, I have lost myself. And she said that it makes her feel sad. Now, when I asked her, well, what do you think about the fact that you feel sad? What do you think about sadness? She said, well, I try not to think about it. I guess I think that I have to hide it, that I'm not supposed to be sad. And do you know what feeling is usually created when we think that we shouldn't feel the way we do or be the way we are? Shame. So now, on top of her sadness, Lindsay has added a layer of shame. And do you know what shame causes people to do? It causes us to hide. The result that Lindsay really wanted to create for herself was a more expansive life, to discover herself and what she would really like to do. But the shame she was feeling was causing her to hide how she felt, to hide the truth of her experience, even from herself. And when we hide the truth of who we are, and we're not willing to be in the truth of our own experience, then we are never going to truly discover ourselves. Now that Lindsay has acknowledged that she feels shame about feeling the way she does, now that she's aware of this additional layer of emotion that she was putting on top of her sadness, now she can start observing and exploring all of the thoughts that are causing that shame and start to question them, to challenge those thoughts, to decide why she's choosing to think them and if she wants to keep thinking them. And once she chips away, like at that layer of shame, once she chips away at the thoughts that are causing it, then she can become more willing to allow her sadness to be there, to not have to hide it, because she won't be ashamed of feeling it. She can know that we all experience sadness, just like we all experience frustration and disappointment and anger and all of the other human emotions that our human brains are designed to generate. Being willing to feel all of them without thinking that something is wrong, without thinking that you are wrong or weak for feeling them, that is strength. And that is freedom. When Lindsay's willing to feel her sadness, when she's willing to feel and acknowledge it and all of her other negative emotions, that is when she will be able to fully discover herself and to fully create her best and most expansive life. And I want to encourage you to start paying more attention to your emotions, and not only to how you feel, but to start looking closely at what you think about how you feel. What do you make your emotions mean? Are you increasing your own suffering by layering one negative emotion on top of another? And imagine what it would be like If every time you didn't feel very good, every time you found yourself caught up in some kind of negative emotion, you simply stopped and thought, I wonder what this emotion can teach me about my brain. If you start doing this work, if you keep doing this work, I am telling you that it will change your life. Thanks so much for listening. And thanks again to those of you who have reached out for whatever reason. I really love to hear from you. So please continue to share your stories with me. Share what this podcast brings up for me or for you. Or let me know if there are any particular topics that you'd like me to talk about. And if you're interested in working directly with me for coaching or speaking or workshops, just get in touch by emailing info@yourbadassbrain.com. And until next time, keep using your badass brain. Bye for now.